Luke and John, the first four books of the New Testament. We're looking at number two, Matthew, Mark. You're looking at Mark chapter 6. I hope everyone will open their Bibles. Mark chapter 6. It's great to be at Faith Baptist Church. Amen. It's a thrill to get to be here. I appreciate it. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me and inviting me to come and be part of the first day, the first official day of this Bible conference. And let's do get some of these postcards. Maybe ushers at the very end of the day, guard every exit, you know, and make sure everybody's got at least one card to take with them and invite folks, and especially for next Sunday morning. But don't miss all the services this week. Be in your place. You know, that thing about visitors welcome and members expected. We're kind of joking and kind of not, okay? We want you to be in your place. It'll help the service. It'll help the service for you to come. And so please make your plans. Be here each night. And I'm glad about the choir. We had a wonderful time with the choir yesterday, and they sang that new arrangement this morning. And they've got new music to sing again tonight, and all week long they'll be singing. And I appreciate the choir, and I appreciate that quartet, and I like the way Brother Jim, I just like the way he leads congregational singing. Now, he gets into it, man, and he gets us into it. You have no choice. You just have to get involved. And he does a wonderful job, and I'm glad for Brother Jim, and Miss Kathy played the piano for us in this wonderful choir. And I appreciate all of you who have asked about the God Bless America Crusade. And we saw over 200 new converts. And amen to that. We're trying to see folks saved. It's an all-out gospel effort. It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so many good things took place there in Richmond. And still going on. We've had many saved since the crusade officially ended. People are still soul winning and still trying to get their friends to come to Jesus. And that's good. And it's right. We gave out over 100,000 John Romans in Richmond. 100,000 copies of the book of John and the book of Romans put together in a little booklet. And we're glad of that. And all the radio stations, the TV news, all that, the large webcast, some of you watched it. And we're glad for that. And now be back tonight. 4:30 choir. And then a little before 6, you need to be here. Because we're going to start at 6, man. We're going to start on time tonight. And we're going to end on time. What time is that? Whatever time we're finished, okay? And we're going to enjoy it. And I hear the youth choir is going to sing. And we're glad about that. And choir going to sing again tonight. So be in your place. We do have some music CDs right back here. Miss Ann, she's guarding them right now so that she can help you immediately after the service. She's sitting right behind them. She's my deputy back there today. And I challenged her to get rid of all of them. Find a home for them. That song the choir sang this morning, Somebody Loves Me. That's the title of this CD right here. And there's only about three or four of those left. If you want one, stop by. They're any size donation. Made any size donation, write a check to Bible Truth Music. Give a little cash. She's ready for you there. Bible Songs for Kids, Scripture set to music. Word for word from the Scripture. 7 volumes of that. Please get some of that. Now, Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. The first 6 verses. It's Bible conference, so let's look at the Bible. Mark chapter 6. And he, this is Jesus Christ, our Savior. He went out from thence and came into his own country. Jesus came into his own home city of Nazareth. And his disciples followed him. He has 12 ordained disciples, and they're following him. In verse 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. The city, the citizens of that city, those who lived in that city, his home city, they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work. save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he, Jesus, marveled because of their what? Their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Now, had I said at the beginning of this sermon, had I asked the question, can God do anything? Well, you'd probably would have said, amen, glory, yes, he can do anything. But in verse 5, it says about Jesus, he could there do no mighty work. Isn't that unusual? That God, you know, Jesus is God. He's the eternal Son of God. And Jesus could there do no mighty work. Now, why couldn't Jesus do any mighty work there? Friends, God has put a parameter on His relationship with people. And that parameter is faith. The name of our church, Faith Baptist Church. Faith is the parameter between God and man. And God Himself has imposed this parameter on His relationship between Him and us. Between God and man. This parameter of faith. And this is true. God works in response to faith. God works in response to faith. Let's make it personal. God works in response to my faith. He does. That's the way it is. Now, Jesus in this passage, He's just begun His public ministry. He's traveled around the region. He's been in many towns. He's been in many villages all around the Sea of Galilee. And many miracles have taken place. He's selected these 12 disciples. 11 of them are saved. One of them is not a saved man. Judas Iscariot, not saved. Died and went to hell. I don't want anybody in Elizabeth City to go to hell. Neither does the Lord. Jesus Christ died for everyone in this city. Amen. And He's not willing that any should perish. But Christ has His 12 disciples here, and crowds are following the Lord. And the stories about His miracles, well, the stories are spreading rapidly. I mean, all throughout the region, they're talking about Jesus Christ and these amazing miracles that are taking place. And people are traveling from far outside the region to come see Jesus. And now Christ comes back to His hometown of Nazareth, this small little city, this little town on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. I've been there to it, and a little place, and this is where Jesus Christ has grown up as a child, as a teenager, as a millennial, right there in Nazareth. And now our Savior, our Lord, has begun His public ministry. And He comes. And in this town, in this home city, the folks were offended with Jesus. That's tragic. That's terrible. Do you know there's still folks being offended by Jesus? Oh, it seems like a lot of folks will clamor for the Pope, but not too many for Jesus. I want to stay with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah for Jesus today. I want us to get in the Lord's presence some this morning. And I want us to learn some from this city of Nazareth. This awful account. To me, it's awful. My favorite book in the Bible is Mark. But this is such a sad passage, isn't it? And here's a city that just basically said, no, Lord, we're not going to put our faith in You. We don't want You to work in our city. We don't want You to work in our town and in our families. We're offended with You. That's tragic. Let's learn some things from this passage. Let's learn some things this morning about faith. About faith. That's really the whole key to this whole passage. Their unbelief is what stopped God from working in their town. Let's learn some things about faith. Number one, I put it down this way in my notes for this morning. I put down number one, faith is evident in all who believe there is a God. Faith is evident in all who believe there is a God. Now, Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about this. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is evident in all who believe there is a God. Now, I've come across some folks who don't believe there is a God. I was out in a little town in Iowa, and I asked the youth leader at that church, I said, let's go soul winning. And we just gone down a little ways down the road and met a fellow who claimed to be an atheist. And for about 45 minutes, we talked to him about the Lord. It's a very interesting conversation. I'm thinking just the other day I was out knocking doors there in the Richmond area just I don't know, 10, 12, 15 days ago. Knocked on the door and got to a fellow. His name was Joshua. I said, my name is Byron Fox, and whoever I had with me, I introduced him. And I said, we're out trying to get some folks to come to this God Bless America crusade. This fellow Joshua, 25 years old, he said, well, I'm an unbeliever. I said, you are an unbeliever? I said, may I ask you some questions? He said, sure. I said, now I read this one metaphysician named Rene Descartes. I said, he didn't know if he was alive or not. I said, Joshua, do you believe that you are alive? He said, well, yes, I believe I'm alive. I said, that's good. I like to talk to people who are alive. You know, Rene Descartes, he didn't believe in Jesus. He didn't believe this book here. He was a total unbeliever. That's what he said. There's one thing he didn't doubt. Rene Descartes said, there's one thing I do not doubt. I do not doubt that I doubt. Okay. So I asked Joshua, I said, what are you doubting? He said, I doubt the Bible. I said, really? I said, you know, there's not been one spade of dirt ever turned by one archaeologist anywhere that found any proof contrary to the Bible. I said, Joshua, do you know that? I said, Joshua, when I was 25 years old, a bunch of liberals across our country used to say, there were never any Hittites. That people group that the Bible kept talking about, the Hittites, there's no proof whatsoever that there was ever a group of people called the Hittites. I said, Joshua, when I was 25 years old, that's what people were saying. I said, that very year, archaeologists found out that there was a group of people called the Hittites. I said, when I was a young man, they said, David is just a legend. There is no proof that there was ever a king named David. I said, Joshua, that same year, they found that there was proof that there was a king named David. I said, medically the Bible is true. I'm saying all this to an unbeliever. I said, medically the Bible is true. I said, when Moses was alive, the medicine that was talked about in the world was foolish medicine. I mean, just foolish. They would take things that were silly, of no value. One medicine, while Moses was alive, the Egyptians had this one medicine. It was moisture out of a pig's ear. Now, man, I'm not into that medicine whatsoever. If I get sick, don't come to me with that, okay? I don't want it. Do you find that kind of medicine in the Bible? No, because that's a bunch of foolishness. What kind of medicine did Moses talk about? Well, he talked about washing your hands. He talked about quarantining folk. Don't you like that your doctor washes his hands? See, medically, this Bible is right. Scientifically, this Bible is right. I wish I had time to just talk on and on. I could tell you all day things how this Bible is right, friends. Now, I'm telling Joshua, I said, Joshua, this Bible is right. I challenge you to study it. He said it was an unbeliever. I was preaching here in North Carolina. Oh, it was 3 or 4 months ago now. we'd had a wonderful Saturday evening service. I went to my hotel. As I walked in, you know my personality a little bit. I walked into that hotel and there's some people in there. I said, "Woo!" I said, "I've just come from a great church service." And there were people in there saying, "Yeah, okay." There's a man over here to my left. He said, "Well, I'm an atheist." I went to him. I said, "You are an atheist?" And he began to curse God and blaspheme. I said, "Sir, I don't believe you're an atheist." He said, "I am too." I said, "I don't believe it." I said, "I'm going to tell you why I don't believe it." I said, "I just stood here hearing you curse God." I said, "Sir, I believe you know there's a God." I said, "But I believe you're upset with the Lord." I said, "May I ask you, why are you angry with God?" He told me about a car wreck where his 8-year-old daughter perished. And I wept with him. And I told him how sorry I was. I told him, "I've got 2 children in heaven." And I talked to him for the Lord. I didn't see him get saved, but I tried to be a Christian and have some compassion and talk to him about the Lord. Now, there, friends, there's a God in heaven. And he has a son named Jesus Christ. And there's the Holy Ghost, too. I believe in all the Trinity. The Bible teaches all this. And faith is evident in all who know that there is a God. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a God. Amen. Number two. Number one, faith is evident in all who believe there's a God. Number two, faith is the basis of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Faith is the basis of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, "Therefore being justified by faith," the Bible says. Romans 3:25, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through" what? Faith. Faith. Faith is the basis of our salvation. If you are saved today, you got saved by faith. There is no other way. It's repentance and belief. And they go together. Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." The night I got saved, I didn't know I was repenting. I didn't know that big word. I just knew that I was wrong, and I knew that Jesus Christ was right. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Yes, number one, faith is evident in all who believe there is a God. Number two, faith is the basis of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Number three, faith is the dynamic element in our ongoing relationship with God. Faith is the dynamic element in our ongoing relationship with God. After we get saved, we are to live by faith. Christians are supposed to live by faith. All Christians are supposed to live by faith. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And it goes on in verse 2 and says this, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." That's Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says repeatedly that Christians are to live by faith. Romans 1:17, "The just shall live by faith." Galatians 3:11, "The just shall live by faith." Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith." That's us, friends. We that are born again. We that have made union with Christ. We that are in Christ. We are to live by faith. Live by faith. Live what by faith? Live the noble dedicated, victorious Christian life? By faith. We do what we do by faith. I mean, why do we conduct ourselves the way we do as Christians? Because we believe God. Why are there some things that we abstain from? Because we believe God. He told us not to do those things, so we believe the Lord. We have faith in God. And so we don't do certain things because that's what God told us to do. You see, we actually live by faith. We live by our beliefs. You know, words have become convoluted. You want to come over to my house? Well, I believe so. You know, in that way we mean, I think so. Oh, we're talking about something more than just thinking. We're talking about deep-seated belief. At the very core of it, faith in God. Number one, faith is evident in all who believe there is a God. Number two, faith is the basis of our salvation. Number three, faith is the dynamic element in our ongoing relationship with God. Here in Mark chapter 6, that city, the citizens of that town said, we don't want to believe you. Our unbelief. And the unbelief stopped the great and mighty miracles that could have taken place. Point number four. Number four. If you're taking notes, write down number four. Faith is not a fixed quantity. Mm-mm. Faith is not a fixed quantity. There's different levels of faith, different degrees of faith, different amounts of faith. This past week in my Bible reading, I read about Felix. Remember Felix in the Bible? Paul comes before him. He's teaching him righteous things. And the Holy Spirit of God looks like was convicting Felix, because Felix began to tremble, the Bible says. And Felix told Paul, says, go thy way. Some other convenient day I'll call for you. He didn't want to say yes to the Lord. And when you don't say yes to the Lord, you're saying no to the Lord. And Felix said, I don't want to put my faith in the Lord, not today. Maybe some convenient day I will, but not today. We never read of Felix putting his faith in God. We never read that in the Bible. Never. But we do find Felix saying, no, I'm not going to put my faith in God. We read this fellow named Agrippa, King Agrippa. We find him in the Bible. How much faith does he have? Zero. He said to Paul, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Almost. Paul, I almost have faith. Almost. But to almost have faith is still to have no faith. We find people in the Bible with no faith. Cain. I think about Cain almost every week. Cain. It's tragic that he didn't put his faith in God. I think about Esau. I think about him regular. Esau in the Bible, he's such a great guy in so many ways. He's a hunter. He's a manly fellow. He forgives his little cheating brother. But you don't find him having faith in God. Where is Esau today? He's in hell. But he didn't put his faith in God. There's different degrees of faith. Some people have no faith. And then you get saved. All right, you get saved and you're a baby Christian. Do you have giant faith? No, you have baby faith. You've just gotten started. You find that in the disciples. Remember the disciples that in Luke chapter 8, they're out there with Jesus, and Jesus gets them in a ship, and he said, let's go to the other side. Well, they get in the ship, and they get out there, and a great big storm comes, and here's Christ in the ship, and he's asleep. The Lord is there asleep. And the disciples, man, this big storm has come up. If you're listening, say amen. This big storm comes. Whoo! And the Savior is asleep. And the disciples, well, they had what you'd call today a panic attack. Yeah. And they rush over there to Jesus. And they call out to the Lord, Master, we perish. Well, when a big trial comes, he's the one to go to. They went to Jesus. They said the right word. They said, Master. They spoke to him correctly. And boy, their request was urgent, wasn't it? We perish. Master, we perish. And the Lord gets up and he rebukes the wind. And remember what he says to the disciples? O ye of little faith. Yeah, the disciples, they're green as grass. They're just getting started, aren't they? Hey, we all just get started when we get saved. See, all of us in this room, every one of us in this room, no matter how long you've been saved, our faith needs to grow. Faith is not a fixed quantity. No. No, we find different levels. For example, we got that Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. The centurion soldier that comes when Jesus heals the servant. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 8. Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That was to a centurion soldier, a military man. How about Abraham? Romans chapter 4, it says, Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. No, he did not stagger with unbelief. No. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Number one, faith is evident in all who believe there is a God. Number two, faith is the basis of our salvation. Number three, faith is the dynamic element in our ongoing relationship with God. Number four, faith is not a fixed quantity. Lastly, now I teach my preacher boys to make their points and support their points with Scripture and illustrate their points and apply their points. And then I tell them this, wrap it up. Okay? It's not time for wrap up yet. I'm on point five, okay? I'm just telling them where we're going. Number five. Faith in God should be growing. Amen. Faith in God can and should be growing. Now Romans 14:1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So should our church receive folk who are weak in the faith? Yes. Folks that have no faith are welcome to come to our service as long as they conduct themselves correctly. They can't disrupt the service and that kind of thing. But folks that are not saved are welcome to come to these services. This week at Bible Conference, I wish everybody in Elizabeth City just said, well, we're going to go over there and find out what they have to say. Now, we'd have to find some more room for everybody. But we want them to come. Those that don't even have faith, we want them to come. But we that are saved, listen, we're not going to allow folks that have weak faith to come in here and get our church sidetracked. No, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. We're not going to allow folks that have tiny little weak faith to get our church sidetracked. We're going to continue doing two giant things. Number one, we're going to keep glorifying God. And number two, we're going to keep advancing the Christian faith. Amen. We're going to keep doing those things. Those are two paramount things that we're going to do. And we're not going to get sidetracked onto other things off of those two giant purposes that our church has to do. And so we want to be growing. And those that have weak faith, we want them to grow to have strong faith. And we want me and you to grow to have stronger and stronger and stronger faith. In the Old Testament, we have other words for the word faith. Like Psalm 16, verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. You know, trust and faith, belief, these are all words that are very similar. My pastor's favorite verses in the Bible. Pastor Dan Gray is my pastor. I'm a member of Calvary Baptist Church. And his favorite verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, let me ask this question. Why is it that Christians disobey God? Why do Christians disobey God? I'll tell you why. Because me and you have weak faith. When you have weak faith, you'll find yourself disobeying the Lord. But when you have strong faith, you'll find yourself obeying the Lord. Now that's the way it is. Let me illustrate. Let me ask some questions to you. I mean, who are you and I going to believe? Are we going to believe God or are we going to believe the devil? Where's our faith going to rest? In God or the devil? Well, how about this? God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, do you believe that? Amen. Now, here's what the devil says. The devil says, now, don't get too carried away with all that church stuff. I mean, Pastor Pease is trying to get us to go to church Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday ladies meeting, next Sunday, friend day. And he even wants to come back tonight. The devil says, now, let's not get too carried away. Now, who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe God or the devil? Amen? We better believe God. And we ought to be in every service of this meeting. Amen. Ought to be in it. Why? Because we believe God. Unless you're providentially hindered, you ought to be in it. I believe that. I believe that. I believe God. Don't y'all believe God? We believe the Lord. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Number two, how about this question? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now that's what God says about alcoholic beverage. There's 70 some warnings from God in the Bible about alcoholic beverage. Now here's what the devil says. The devil says you can handle it. Go ahead. You deserve to have a little fun. That's the lie of the devil. I preached a meeting in July, in Blackstone, Virginia. Man, we had a good meeting. Started on Saturday. And Sunday we had 9 saved Sunday morning. I mean, it was wonderful. Had an afternoon service, had an evening service. We had afternoon and evening service. Had a Monday night service, Tuesday night. Woo, Tuesday night. What a service. Wednesday. Let's close out Wednesday. Pastor came to me, Pastor Bruce Roos, said, Brother Fox, if you want to go on with this meeting, you can. I said, well, I never make that decision. The preacher always makes that decision. He said, well, I'm giving you the authority. I got on my knees Wednesday night. I said, please, let's go on another night of this meeting. And we had it on a Thursday night service. It was so good. Preacher said, if you want to, we can go on. I got on my knees Thursday night, and I said, please, folks, God has met with us again. Let's go on another night. They said, amen. I said, now I'm going to ask something extra. I'm going to ask tomorrow night on Friday night that we have 2 services, a 6:30 service and a 7:30 service. And folks came at 6:30 and God met with us. We had more and more and more people saved. We had about double the crowd on Friday night that we had on Sunday morning. It's amazing. It's amazing what God did. Got in my car, drove home to Newport News. That's where I live. I was rejoicing all the way home. What a meeting. Woo, glory. I'm driving home. I'm going to leave early the next morning. So I get home and I'm going down my very road. I've got Newport News to my very road that I live on. I'm turning down my road. It's after midnight. I'm still rejoicing. And on this telephone, I got a phone call. And one of my relatives was so drunk, I had to go rescue him. Went into a den of iniquity and drugged my loved one out. Rescue. If I had my way, I'd close every distillery. I'd close every bar in America. Amen. I believe the Lord. See, the devil tries to get us to believe something else. We had better believe the Lord. How about one more? God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that I may pour you out a blessing. Now that sounds like revival to me. A blessing pouring out from heaven, the windows of heaven open. That sounds like revival language to me. And one of the conditions to get revival, not robbing God of the tithe. So God says, bring you all the tithes. Now, do we believe God? See, here's what the devil says. The devil says, now you can't afford to tithe and pay all your bills. You want to be honest and pay your bills, don't you? You can't afford to tithe. That's what the devil says. God says that we're supposed to tithe. Now, who are we going to believe? We're going to believe God or the devil? You say, well, does God need my money? No. God's not broke. He paves the street of heaven with gold. What's American currency worth? We know it's not worth much. You know what I'm saying? Here's $300. Can I get one tank of gas, please? You know? God doesn't need my money. God wants me to obey Him. God wants me to believe Him. God wants me to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Me and you, we can't please God without faith. It's impossible. In this city, it's forever recorded in the Bible, in Mark chapter 6, that on this day, they didn't have faith in God. I want there to be a city in North Carolina named Elizabeth City that has faith in God. I want me and you to have faith in God. I want us to believe God and obey God. Would you stand with me? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Why is it, I repeat,